Well, welcome to Advent 2016. It's a season. We just entered a season. And each Sunday of Advent, we light the Advent candle that's on the Advent wreath. This week, we light the candle that has two designations that connect. It's called either the prophetic candle or the candle of hope. And on their special day, I've asked the Irwins if they would light the candle and read the scripture. So, you guys? Let's make sure of something. Ah, very good. All right, it's all yours.
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever."
Amen. Thank you so much. For Advent this year is courage. I don't know that I've ever done a series on courage. I think it's time. I think it's very important. I think something else about us, about America for the most part. I don't think that our generation, and I'm starting with my generation and then accepting those that have followed, I don't think that we've been called upon to the degree that our ancestors were called upon to show and have, exemplify, and live by courage. I also think it can happen. I also think courage might be that very thing that has to well up in us so that we can lead and live through whatever hardship comes. Courage comes from the word cor, which means heart. Courage is a state of the heart. And when I talk about that, I'm talking about not the physical heart, but the soul. The part of us that moves us, that is the essence of who we are as people made in the image of God. There have been times in not too distant history when the most important thing that a people could have to survive was courage. My favorite character in the 20th century is the favorite of millions, and that's Winston Churchill. And I invite you to learn anything you can about that very odd and interesting and courageous man. It's been said of him, and I agree with this, that without him, we would either be speaking German or Japanese, or someone over us would be. Winston Churchill was the man, I believe, that God had designated to show, have, and inspire courage. When seriously, friends, it seemed that all was lost. Hard times. Courage matters. Courage really matters. I talked last week about three people that I know, friends, who need courage right now. What I talked about last week was this, that in their hardship, extreme hardship, they were expressing extreme thanksgiving. One was the family of a 33-year-old whom I knew, who had overdosed and died in Baltimore. Another is a woman who was hit by a car and broken from stem to stern. She's probably 70, and she was fractured. They thought she would die. She was moved this week from ICU to her own room. She's doing very well. Cheryl Cecil. Here's the thing about Cheryl's expressions through her daughter. I have not heard one complaint. I have not read one iota of why did this happen to me? What have I read? Thanksgiving. Humility. Excuse me, appreciation. Courage. And the other is a friend of mine who has exemplified courage as long as I've known her. She's a saint of a person, a lovely lady. She's probably 75 now, I would say. And she was abandoned by her husband. And she, at that time, declared that the Lord was her husband. And he is. And he has been. And she daily blesses those of us who are her friends with courage. The Sunday night, two nights ago, we had our C.S. Lewis book club, and there's a gal who comes to that, and later, and we had fun and so on, but then later, either that night or the next morning, I got a note from her that her brother, who is a high school boy, her brother's best friend, who, small world that it is the grandson of a man who was on staff at Wheaton College and whom I know. And this son, the picture of health, Joshua Church, went to swimming practice, did his thing, got out of the pool, and died. Do you know him, Tamsin? Yeah, they live close to you. Yep. Wow. These are faithful people. These are the kind of people you would say, why would such a horror happen to these people who invest their lives giving to other people? I don't have the answer to that. But I do know this, that Grandpa, Don Church, the one that I know, is battling a disease that's going to take him, that he lost his grandson. And if you knew him, you would say, I not only want to be in your foxhole, I want you to be leading all of us in the foxhole, because you are courageous. This man is a picture of courage. And I have to believe that his progeny is too. When we think of courage, we must recognize that God commands his people to be courageous. And for a very logical and sensible reason. Because their trust is in him. Their trust is in him. Therefore, whatever befall them, he's still the king. And that gives them courage. We see it with Joshua. Moses has died, and Joshua doesn't know quite what to do. And the Lord says over and over, be strong and have courage. Follow me. Be strong and have courage. When the angel of the Lord came to Mary, and most people think Mary was probably between 14 and 16. Now I want you to think about you when you were 14 to 16. Kind of makes us shake our head, doesn't it? And the angel of the Lord comes to her and says, "Don't be afraid." And I always say to that, that's easy for you to say. Don't be afraid. Tells Mary the most amazing thing that had ever been said to a human being. You, Mary, are going to carry God in your womb. You realize that's our story? And that is the way things happened. For those who say, well, I like the Jesus story, but I can't believe in the virgin birth, I'm saying, what kind of God do you believe in? Do you believe in a God that can speak and the universe leaps into existence? That's who God is. God is perfectly, easily capable, without effort, to declare, and things happen. God declared through the Holy Spirit, I believe, coming into Mary's body and quickening her fertilization. And do you remember earlier in the year we read that when fertilization happens, what else happens? There's a spark, a literal, visible spark. That made me so happy for some reason. I'll never see it, neither will you. But it's awesome. It's light. It's energy. It's the power of God. A spark happens. So this happens to Mary. Now, we heard, and you have on the cover of your program, this very famous poem by Mary called the Magnificat. I want to be strong yet sensible in what I'm going to say right now. I came to Christ through evangelical outreach in college. And I am an evangelical. That's who I am. And that's fine. And there are tens of millions like me. There are also probably hundreds of millions, if not billions, who are not like me, who believe in Christ. That's fine. I do believe, though, that we have two errors regarding Mary. The one error would be to elevate Mary to a position that she would never accept. And that is that she becomes our mediator. So we pray to Mary and say, hey, work this out with your boy. I don't think that that's part of things. That's an extreme, and I have relatives, dear friends in the faith who'd say, well, but that's what our tradition has taught us, and that's where we're going. And I don't argue with them about it. But there's another extreme, and that extreme says, we don't talk about Mary. We just don't deal with her. We don't want to get off base with that. And I think that's an extreme too. I think that Mary provides for us one of the most excellent examples for us to follow. Now let's look at this Magnificat. If you have your program, all you have to do is do that. Otherwise, go to Luke 1. This young girl, now think about being 14 to 16. This young girl is surprised beyond surprise and is designated. You are going to be the mother of God, the man. Now, here's an important thing about what she says. She says here, my soul magnifies the Lord. Well, right there, we have joy. We have proper understanding. We have a woman, a young girl, who says, I need to think and love and embrace and trust more this God who is mysterious, but is so close. He's visited me. I need to magnify him, and I do. Is there any part of that that doesn't work for us? No, there isn't. We need to not be afraid to embrace this great God and magnify him. I hope that we do that. I hope that God is the object of our affection and we embrace him in that way. Now, here's an important line. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Friends, Mary says, and I agree, she needs a Savior. She needs a Savior. If she is sinless, she doesn't need a Savior. She's not sinless. That doesn't change anything that's real. She's wonderful. But when Jesus was conceived, do you understand what happened in this theologically beyond moment that we call the hypostatic union? Use that this week over coffee. Just say, hey, what do you think of the hypostatic union? And just guys will be talking about their transmissions and all kinds of stuff. This baby, this fertilized egg, is 100% God. This baby, this fertilized egg, is 100% man. Now, that's, we talk about that the rest of our lives. But it's wonderful. Believe it. Now, here's the thing. When the character of God came into this person, that character was unblemished. When the character of man came into this person, that character was blemished. And this is where that's important. In theology class in college, we had a couple of days on this issue of, could Jesus have sinned? And I immediately thought, sure he could have. And that's what we came to. So we didn't need all those days. But there are all these Latin terms for this issue, using peccare, which is the word for to sin. Could he have not sinned at all? Could he have not sinned at all? Or could he have sinned but didn't? That's where we settled. That unless you understand that Jesus could have sinned as he carried our DNA, then you don't have a Jesus who can really identify with us. And Paul tells us he was tempted in every way we were, yet without sin. He knows how to help us. He knows how to give us an escape. Jesus, this baby, is carried by Mary with the possibility that he could sin. That's quite a risk for God to take. Let's go on with Mary. Or he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. Now, how true is that? Friends, everything we know about Mary is that humble estate, those are the words. That's the ticket. That's who she is. So God chooses in this story, you'll read about this in this world-changing devotional that's coming out today. No, you'll read about it in there. This is the story of humility challenged. Now think about Mary. This young girl, very well prepared for life. Joseph has fallen in love with her. He wants to marry her. She agrees to this. And God says, you are going to carry me. Now, is there the possibility that that could make one haughty? Oh, baby. Hey, guess what? That's God. That didn't happen, did it? I do, however, fully believe, that when she and Elizabeth, her relative, as two pregnant women, came together, and each of them had a miraculous pregnancy, because Elizabeth was past the age of such, I believe they cried, they laughed, they got all overwhelmed by this thing, this humility thing. I believe they were both driven to the deepest humility they'd ever known. And the way God does things is beyond my understanding, but he chose the weak things of the world to express his strength. The cross is the ultimate weak place. There's no getting down off the cross. And yet the absolute dominion of Christ is displayed there. Mary was humble. Mary had to change her way of thinking about how life was going to go. And Mary had to know, and Joseph had to know, that their life together was going to be potentially mocked by scandal. Wait a minute. They're not married, but look when this baby came. We get it. Well, she's got a story, but come on. Let's be real. It took courage for Mary to rise up above the filth. It took courage for Mary to raise this kid, and here's another place where I break with Roman Catholicism, to raise his siblings, who are named in the Bible, by the way, her other children, with this kid. That's so interesting to me. What was he like when he was 8? Calvin's 5. You heard him express his joy at Christmas presents today. What was Jesus like when he was 5? I think he was like a 5-year-old. I think he was like an 8-year-old. I think he was like a 16-year-old. He was all these things, and the reason I say that is because the townspeople didn't think really any more of him than anybody. He didn't wear it on his sleeve, but neither did he sin. Amazing. Let's move on here. How true and how prophetic, we light this prophetic candle today. How true and how prophetic is this? For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Has that happened? You betcha. This little girl in Nowheresville, the north of Israel, which is not where the important people live, this little girl has been called blessed. Blessed. For all ages, she was right. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And here's for us. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And we have here, and I'm going to stop because of time, but we have here then this listing of ways in which trusting him gives her courage. It took courage to go with Joseph before they're married. It took courage to have this baby and delight in him. It took courage to go to Egypt. She hadn't been to Egypt. He hadn't been to Egypt. What the heck, Egypt? They went. This wasn't part of the plan. That took courage. And then they hear that Herod is killing the babies. And then they hear from the Lord, he's dead. You can go home now. And it took courage after these years to go back to Nazareth, where people had talked, and now people would see that there are three of them. It took courage. Finally, I think it took courage for her to be at the cross. And we know that she was there. And we know that at the cross she watched this promised joy be killed. That took courage to be there. You know, when she has this baby, she's told that, oh, this baby is for the rising and falling of many in Israel. This baby is going to change the world. That's awesome. And by the way, your heart is going to be pierced. And that's exactly what happened. And so even from that point, it took courage to stay the course. I put on the program, Courage for the Journey. Friends, you today could say, I need courage, because you have a journey. Here's what I know about Jesus. I don't do anything really to connect you to Jesus. You call to Jesus. You pray to Jesus. We heard the story last night of a dear woman, a dear saint, who's probably not going to be here for very long. She's having a lot of trouble breathing. And when she struggles breathing, she just says over and over, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Well, that pierces your heart. But she will get his help. She'll get his help when she passes on in ways she can't even imagine. And so will we. Friends, have courage. Think of this young girl. Think of the courage that she showed. Well, I'm not her. No, you're not. But you've been called to live with courage, to stand for Christ, to live for him. Amen? Let's sing and delight.